I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local, your connection to local music. Oh, and I should tell you that it's currently 82 degrees at 12 noon. On our program today, a group called Strings Attached. They do bluegrass and gospel, and they're going to be performing at the Music at the Landing series at Kickapoo State Park in Oakwood this Friday evening, which is a concert actually co-sponsored by WYLL, or rather by Illinois Public Media. And we'll talk about the Kickin' It at Kickapoo program that WYLL is co-sponsoring. And we'll hear Strings Attached perform on the show today, live from our Studio F. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was a performance of some music by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, a performance by a group called Les Violons du Roi, which means the Violins of the King. It's a Canadian group led by Bernard Labadie, last movement of that symphony of Bach's here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and on the show, some music that is not completely unrelated to Baroque music, believe it or not, which is a little bluegrass and some gospel, played here by a group called Strings Attached. They're playing in Oakwood on Friday at the Music at the Landing at Kickapoo State Park in Oakwood. And earlier, some weeks ago, we had one of their members on this program to talk about that music series, Bob Pierce, who is their banjo player. And I think we talked then about maybe getting you guys on the show, and since WYLL, or rather Illinois Public Media, which I'm still not used to saying, is co-sponsoring this concert and specifically a broad-based project called Kickin' It at Kickapoo, I thought this would be the ideal week to try to have you guys on. So thank you all for coming in. Let me identify the players. Bob Pierce, we mentioned, is a banjo player. Say hello, Bob.
Hello.
And our other Bob is Bob Patterson on the bass. Say hello, other Bob.
Hello.
And Ron Cordy on the mandolin.
Hello.
There you go. Very good. And Don Thody. We had a long debate about how to pronounce his name, and he seemed to be debating with himself, is the guitarist.
Hello.
There you go. All right. So we now know all their mics work, I hope. So thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
Our pleasure. For those who maybe missed the show before, when you were on, Bob Pierce,
yes,
why don't you give a really quick overview of the Music at the Landing series? There's a couple of concerts every week throughout the summer, right?
Right, right. Well, our concession business there at Kickapoo Park is open from the beginning of April till the end of October. And every Friday night from beginning of April to end of October, we have live and local bands playing out there at the park. If the weather's good, they'll be outside on a stage. If the weather's not so good, they're still there, but playing inside the little cafe. And then we're open 7 days a week between Memorial Day and Labor Day. And during that time, we also have bands playing on Tuesday nights. And they're, again, outside if the weather's good. So actually, we will have a band out there tonight. A group from Indiana will be playing out there tonight.
J.R. Country.
J.R. Country.
Yeah,
yep.
I just looked that up right before coming over here. We'll mention that again when we do a calendar, maybe about halfway through the show. And the genres are seems heavy on the bluegrass and the country.
Right. Well,
for this particular
we've kind of leaned a lot toward acoustic music, just by the nature of it being out in a park and so forth. Yeah, we didn't think it was the greatest venue for heavy metal or that sort of thing. So,
well, we on Live and Local appreciate that, since we focus on acoustic music, which has been a lot of fun, and it's the most fun that I have on the show is when we're able to get guys in here to do some playing. So why don't we have you do some playing? What do you want to start with?
How about this one? It's called, it's an old tune that was made very popular by the Stanley brothers, Dr. Ralph Stanley and his brothers. Anyway, called How Mountain Girls Can Love. Give us a C. 1, 2, 3, 4. Get down, boys, go back home, back to the girl you love. Treat her right, never wrong, how mountain girls can love. Night on the high cold wind on the trail of an old lonesome pine, thinking of you, feeling so blue, wondering why I left you behind. Get down, boys, go back home, back to the girl you love. Treat her right, never wrong, how mountain girls can love. Play that mandolin. Remember the night we strolled down the lane, our hearts were gay and happy then. You whispered when I held you close, you hoped this night would never end. Get down, boys, go back home, back to the girl you love. Treat her right, never wrong, how mountain girls can love. Girl you love, treat her right, never wrong, how mountain girls can love.
There you go. I guess we can figure out the name of that song again. Girls can love. That was played by Strings Attached here on in Studio F at Illinois Public Media, WYLL-FM on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And Bob, I appreciated you using that phrase "live and local" in reference to the bands playing at the Music at the Landing series, which Strings Attached will be doing this Friday evening at 5:30. I'm always curious how folks who I'm guessing don't do this kind of playing professionally ended up doing this kind of playing in the first place. So I'm going to start on my left with Ron Cordy holding the mandolin there. How did you end up playing the mandolin? How long have you been doing it?
Well, I bought my first mandolin in December of 1993.
This was apparently a momentous day.
It was a momentous day. In fact, it was really a momentous day because I had worked for about 38 years out at USI at Tuscola. And it was on a Saturday that I bought the mandolin. And on Monday, I found out that I was going to be retiring. Not by my choice, of course.
I gathered that, yeah.
And so I had never played any instrument before other than a bass horn and band when I was in high school, so I was debating whether I could even afford to keep the darn thing or not. So I decided to keep it, and I just sit down on the floor every night, and for a long time my wife just had to suffer and just kept working at it until now.
Well, so, what made you decide to buy it?
Well, I'd been wanting, we kind of got interested in bluegrass music.
We meaning?
My wife and I.
Okay.
And we'd went to a few festivals, and I'd always wanted to learn to play something, and I'd tried guitars and never could, you know. And so I decided this was something I was going to try to do. So I tried to do it.
And you seem to be doing just fine.
Well, I'm a long way from being a professional violinist, but I enjoy it, so that's the main thing.
So Bob Pierce said before we went on the air that there's something interesting about that particular mandolin. I've not seen a whole ton of mandolins in my time, but that looks different.
Yes, this is an England mandolin made by England Custom Instruments down in Caneyville, Kentucky. And the wife and I had went down to visit down at the Bill Monroe home place and Campbell Mercer down there. And he was telling us that he was having a mandolin made at England's there at Caneyville out of some wood from the Bill Monroe home place. So he says, you ought to go over there and see it. He says, I haven't even seen it yet. So we went over there with the idea of looking at that mandolin and found out that they made these mandolins, and I fell in love with, this is just a slightly bit bigger than a normal mandolin, this one is. And so we got home and talked about it, and 2 weeks later we drove back down and got one. And he actually put the finish on this based on what I wanted and everything. So
that is an all wood body instrument. Because from this distance, it's kind of sort of gray-green or something like that. And it almost looks metal from here.
Oh, really?
It's a curious kind of finish on it.
Must be the lighting or else too much dust on it or something like that.
What does it look like? What color is it where you're sitting?
it's a walnut color.
Is it? It's beautiful. It's a fascinating-looking instrument. Yeah. And you've got this thing at the top of the what do you call that thing at the top?
That's my tuner.
Well, that's your tuner.
That's the tuner. I leave that on there, and then every once in a while I can check whether I'm in tune, and most of the time I just don't worry about it too much.
Ron Cordy, mandolinist for Strings Attached. And you said you've tried the guitar but didn't do so well. Here's somebody who's tried the guitar and seems to have done okay, is Don Thody. How long have you been playing the guitar?
Well, I started when I was a teenager. I guess I bought a Stella guitar down here on South Neal, a music store in Champaign here, and for about $15, $20. I don't remember now, but less than $20. And so I played it mostly country western for my own enjoyment. You know, I didn't get into this bluegrass until just a few years ago. But anyhow, I went in the Air Force, got married, you know, and that takes a lot of time away from you.
I've heard that, yeah.
Right. And I went in the Air Force for 4 years, and I didn't play the guitar then. And then later on, when I got out of the Air Force, I bought a guitar over at Decatur. It was a Sovereign, a Harmony Sovereign. And it was a better guitar, and I started playing it when I got with these guys back in the middle 90s. And them guys thought I ought to have a better guitar, so I bought this Martin, and it sounds a lot better. So that's my story.
And you're sticking with it, right?
Yeah, I'm sticking with the Martin.
And what were you doing besides playing the guitar?
Well, I worked at the same plant that Ron did out here, the USI. It used to be USI Chemical Plant down at Tuscola.
What does USI stand for? I should know, but I don't.
United States Industrial.
Okay.
Originally, it was petrochemical, and then they changed the name, and then it's sold a couple, three times, and now it's Lyondell, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
So is it maybe the breathing in of the chemicals that sort of inspired you both at the same time to get involved in this bluegrass thing?
Well, I breathed in a little bit of them, yeah.
Yeah. Is this a common thing for people to retire from there and do bluegrass?
Well,
there might be a study in there to be done.
I don't think so. I heard Ron playing at the Methodist Church in Tuscola. He was accompanying a piano and a choir, and I thought he was terrible.
But so I you told thought you'd join his band, right?
He really sounded great. I said, well, I play a guitar. I didn't know you played mandolins. He said, well, I know a guy that plays banjo. Well, we ought to get together and practice a little bit. So that's how it started.
And the guy that plays banjo, Bob Pierce.
Right.
And Bob Patterson on the bass. Where do you come into this picture?
I actually am from up I'm from Southern Illinois, but I moved north when I got a job. And, of course, you go where the work's at. And went to work for General Motors. And after being married, the wife and I would go square dancing. And it seemed like we'd end up at the campground with the square dancers that we square danced with. And there would always be someone playing something around there. And most of the time it was country and bluegrass. And this old bass always laid out on the, under a tree out there because the owner of it liked playing the fiddle. So I kind of acquired the bass, and in the meantime, I would just kind of play along with them. I'd pick it up and whatever. And then as time went on, well, I kind of became sure that that was the only thing I'd be very good at. So I just stuck with the bass and kind of helped these guys out every chance I get.
Well, we're glad you did, because you need a bass line in these things.
It works well with the bluegrass.
You know, I ended up playing bass in a not quite entirely different way that you started. My mom had one, because she had picked it up in order to play in a folk group that she started at our church many years ago, and I wanted to play the viola when I wanted to start an instrument. She said, well, I've got this bass. I said, I don't want to play the bass. Well, we have the bass, and I don't want to rent the viola, she said. So I played the bass. And, you know, so I think, and the last bass player we had in here for a group from Monticello, called Stringtown Lane. He picked up, you know, the bass in a sort of similar, semi-accidental way, I guess. So I don't know what it is about bass players that these things happen. We'll come around to you in a little bit, Bob Pierce. We had your story some weeks ago, but I'm sure not everybody heard it. But let's hear another tune from Strings Attached. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. What's our next tune?
It's another old tune called I Wonder How the Old Folks Are at Home.
Just a village and a homestead on the farm, and a mother's love to shield you from all harm. A mother's love so true, a sweetheart that loves you. A village and a homestead on the farm. You could hear the cattle lowing in the lane. You could see the fields of bluegrass where I roam. I could almost hear them cry as they kissed the boy goodbye. Well, I wonder how the old folks are at home. Mm-hmm. see the fields of bluegrass where I roam. You could almost hear them cry as they kiss the boy goodbye. Well, I wonder how the old folks are at home.
Strings Attached here on Live and Local. We'll be performing in Oakwood on Friday at 5:30. Part of the Music at the Landing series at Kickapoo Landing at Kickapoo State Park. And I wonder how the old folks are at home, the name of that tune. The vocalists were lead vocal Bob Pierce, who's also the banjo player. Well, the high vocal anyway. The melody, it took me a while to clue into who was on what there. Don Thodey is also the guitarist playing the melody. And since this is not television, people can't see, of course, what we're doing, and for all you know, we could be playing a record, but we're not, and we're live in Studio F. But you do this thing, as I've started to notice, that various traditional groups do. When you get to a point where somebody decides that it's time to end the song, and they're all sitting here, bass player stands, and somebody just sticks his leg out, and everybody sees that and says, and knows, well, I guess we end. At some point, you know, there must be a designated stopping point. Any idea how that little, where that tradition comes from?
I don't know where it started, but I would guess it has to do with the fact that all of these are stringed instruments, which requires that both of our hands be occupied.
Yeah.
So there's no way there could be a hand signal. And typically we're singing as well, so we can't very well make some kind of a vocal signal. So that kind of leaves us our feet. So somebody puts their foot out to indicate it's time to wrap it up. I suppose another part of it, too, is we probably, when we just played the song we just did, I don't think we've ever played it just that way before. There isn't any written music. And so every time we play it, it's a little bit different. And we sometimes just look or give a nod or something as to who's going to take the lead on the break or that sort of thing. So you never know when the song is going to end. You never know unless there is some kind of a signal.
So how do you avoid having train wrecks? You know,
do happen.
Suppose
you
look at somebody and you give the signal, you know, to do the next verse or whatever, and they misinterpret the signal, and somebody goes off on another direction.
That happens
most of the time. Then you just try to follow along and make it sound like nothing's going wrong. You know?
That's right. If nobody knows any different, why then that's just the way it is.
And well, being live, it's going to happen. You know?
That's true.
That's right. Well, that adds to the excitement. One of the things that I like about certain kinds of music, I mean, a lot of kinds of jazz, which is, of course, so heavily improvisational, bluegrass, and other traditional music, is since you don't have something written, there is a tune, and, of course, if two people are playing in the same tune, they're supposed to know it. So they should be together. But otherwise, there's always a little bit of organized chaos about it. You're hopefully playing the same chords at more or less the
same
time.
Yeah, hopefully.
But since also all four of these instruments are rhythm instruments, as well as potentially melody instruments, bass not usually a melody instrument, but you could all be playing the melody, but you also have this percussive strumming thing that you do, so you have that rhythm, and you're usually hitting more than one string at once or right after the other. So, I mean, just automatically, nothing much is ever going to be exactly together anyway.
Right.
By nature of the instrument. I think there's something that I like about that sort of jangly quality about that, and also, you know, jazz, when people are really improvising, they're all doing different things, Dixieland especially.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known some people say, well, I can't deal with jazz for exactly that reason. You know, they want to see things lined up exactly the way they're supposed to be, in quotation marks.
We had a young lady who played, and unfortunately she couldn't be here with us today, who played fiddle with us for several years, since she was about 13 years old. And she had training in her very young youth on the violin. And it's not uncommon for fiddle players in bluegrass bands to have had a background in violin. And we felt like it was our beholden duty as bluegrassers to untrain her from that classical training because she really wanted to read notes. And in bluegrass, you don't do that. So I think we did a fair job.
Yeah, to start with, her mother did write down, transposed from the sound of the music to where she could learn some of them. But anymore, she just hears it and picks it right up.
So the notes can be a straitjacket in certain kinds of music.
I think so.
And that's kind of funny the way you put it, that she started to play the violin but then learned to play the fiddle, but it's the same instrument.
It becomes
one or the other depending upon what you're doing with it.
That's exactly right.
And you play it very differently. That's fun to watch when that happens. So you trained her right, in other words.
we feel that way.
Yeah.
I think she's leaving us because, see, she graduated from high school and she's going to college this fall and over in Indiana, I think it is.
Well, it's a wonder she hung around with a bunch of old guys like us for all those years anyway. But it was good.
She put the icing on the cake. she was really popular with the crowd.
Yeah, I can imagine. So is she going off to do violin or just something else entirely?
Well, I don't know. She's just going to college. I'm not sure what she's studying.
I don't think she's majoring in music.
No, I don't think so.
So you completely unlearned her then?
I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope she sticks with her instrument for the rest of her life because it's a wonderful thing to be able to do this.
Well, and especially, we've had quite a number of folks on the show who have – you often will say to kids they leave high school and play through college, or they leave college and then they play the different things. Playing a community band or something like that. But we've also had a lot of people like some of yourselves who've just picked up an instrument later in life and they never played anything before, and you get that kind of pleasure, which is kind of an amazing and wonderful thing to me. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our guests are the quartet, at least today they're a quartet anyway, called Strings Attached, playing at Kickapoo State Park on Friday evening. Programs on FM 90.9 are made possible in part by Krennert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to explore the newly announced 2009-2010 season. Tickets are on sale Thursday, July 16th at 10 a.m. More information is at krennertcenter.com. On the show tomorrow, we're going to have a couple of people playing in the production of the musical by Rodgers and Hammerstein, Oklahoma, in Decatur. The organization is Je Demi Productions, and I finally found out that they do say it in the French way. We'll hear about that tomorrow and hear quite a bit from the show Oklahoma, which is a great one, on Live and Local tomorrow during the noon hour. Wanted to mention a little bit about this Kickin' It at Kickapoo program that is a project of Illinois Public Media's Youth Media Workshop. The Youth Media Workshop has been going for a number of years now. And this Kickapoo project, inspired by the new Ken Burns documentary for PBS called The National Parks, America's Best Idea. It's going to air on PBS stations this month, I believe, unless next month in the information I'm looking at happens to be August, but I think it's in July. And the folks who've helped organize this, along with WILL's Kimberly Chronic, are Glynis Collins of the Prairie Rivers Network, also John Hott, and Michelle Nelson of the University of Illinois Department of Advertising, and one of the members here of Strings Attached. You've actually gotten involved in the project. I understand working with some of the students from the Danville Boys and Girls Club, a week or two ago?
That's right. It was just a week and a few days ago. On Friday the 26th, I believe it was, there was a really great activity that took place out there at Kickapoo State Park. And there are so many organizations collaborating with this, probably foremost of which is from WILL, which is tremendous, and we out there at the park thank you very, very much for this assistance. But the Danville Boys and Girls Club, Prairie Rivers Network, the Danville Public Library System, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, which of course oversees the state parks, and my concession business, Kickapoo Landing. And I probably have forgotten others. I may think of them as we go along. But at any rate, there are a great many organizations that have all come together to promote the opportunity for kids in the park. And last Friday, there was an opportunity for a group of boys and girls from the Danville Boys and Girls Club that might not otherwise have such opportunities. They came out to the park and had essentially little tutorials on skeet shooting with shotguns, on canoeing, on nature photography, and a number of other topics. And it was just a really fun day out there.
And what did you get to do with them?
I got to be the so-called canoe expert, and the kids were wonderful. I taught them a little bit about various paddling strokes and how to safely get in and out of a canoe without tipping it over, because pretty much all of the kids were entirely novices to canoeing. And John Hott, the park superintendent, had also brought out a couple of his own personal kayaks. And we also had, of course, great many canoes from our concession. And so the kids got to try canoeing and kayaking. And then the lessons took place at sort of a somewhat remote section of Kickapoo State Park, which is a huge park. And the kids, and I believe some of the adults too, weren't even aware that this was going to happen. But at the end of that session, then they all went up a little trail and over the hill down to a large gravel bar on the river and got to canoe about 2 miles down the river back into the main section of the park. And so I imagine Kimberly and some of the others all got to do that as well.
Because they had to if they needed to get back.
I guess maybe that was their way to get home.
Yeah. Well, I'm just looking here about some of the other activities that they were supposed to get involved in. Fishing, I guess?
That's correct.
Banding
correct.
Geese?
They're all
did
kinds
they do
of
that, I wonder?
And I don't know that they did that particular day, but this is taking place over the entire summer. And a big thing is they're learning a lot from WILL people how to use video cameras and eventually how to edit and make commercials and radio and TV spots. And I believe then a culminating part of the project is for them to do some spots to promote Kickapoo State Park.
And a bit of a documentary of the experience, really.
That's correct.
That's going to work out to be. Says here, life lessons from Kickapoo, things that they will end up learning or have learned. These are things I didn't know either. I did know this one. I got to do this once. When you pick up a goose, hold it firmly against your body. I learned that in Hawaii. I picked up this wonderfully huge nene, I think as they call this particular goose. And they don't weigh very much either. I thought it was going to be very heavy, and it didn't. Release the button on the fishing rod before you cast. I sort of remember hearing that many moons ago. Hold on to both sides of the canoe as you get in. You must have taught them that one. You didn't lose anybody, I presume.
No, we didn't lose a single person into the lake.
Although some of them probably thought it would be fun to dump themselves.
Oh, it was a warm day. It would have been a nice thing to do.
Minnows aren't always little. I just assumed they were. And gigantic poison ivy vines can grow in a tree. So something else to look out for if you have any allergy to that. So a little bit about the Kicking It at Kickapoo project, cooperative project between a number of organizations, including Illinois Public Media's Youth Media Workshop and Kickapoo State Park and Prairie Rivers Network. Strings Attached, playing the concert, which WILL is co-sponsoring Friday evening at 5:30, and they're on the show today here on Live and Local. And we've got lots of time left. What shall we hear next?
Well, shall we do an instrumental piece?
Just do an instrumental.
Okay, we took a couple of old bluegrass songs and medleyed them together. So this is one we call Little Darlin's Footprints, but it's a combination of a tune called Little Darlin and Footprints in the Snow. Thank you.
Strings Attached, the name of the group here on Live and Local today on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and Bob Pierce, banjo player in the group. One point, you looked over at your mandolinist, Ron Cordy, and had a little bit of an exchange there. Started smiling about something. What happened right there?
Well,
that's just a spot in the song where we kind of hit it together and hit it kind of hard there, and we just always kind of enjoy that part, making sure we were together.
And so that happened particularly well that time, or not quite? So
it's one of those exchanges. We're just having
enjoy
fun.
It. Yeah. Well, I'm often curious what goes. You know, what just happened in a group? It can be any group. You know, that's playing live, and if you're watching them, at a particular moment, somebody will look at somebody and have exchange that smile, and the audience doesn't necessarily really know what happened, but there was some pleasure you took out of it.
Usually if we're standing playing next to each other, we'll kind of turn toward each other and just work that part of it together. So it's just always a spot there where we kind of enjoy kind of being together on it there.
Just a little interaction.
Oftentimes too, as we talked about before, there's improvising going on throughout the whole song. And if somebody does some particularly nice little lick to it, to the song, you know, some nice little flourish, you know, they'll get acknowledged by one of the other musicians in the group with a big smile and nod or something.
Because we may never have heard that before.
Yeah, that's true.
That particular song at that particular time.
Might have knocked you out of your complacency if it was a part where you usually sort of just go through automatically or something.
Right.
I'm looking at this big book you have on the floor.
Oh.
what's in that book? Are these all your tune names?
It's
a huge binder.
There are many, many groups who memorize the words to all their songs. We're a bunch of old guys, and our memories are just not that great. I'm speaking for myself anyway. And we like to have the words in front of us. And so we have a collection of a great many lyrics in a big book, just in case some conversation would come up and somebody says, "Oh, do you know such and such a song?" And we can pull out the lyrics, we hope.
Well, you must. I haven't seen you flip the page, but maybe you have, and I wasn't paying attention. But I also haven't noticed you looking at anything.
We have some other words up here in front of us on the music stand.
They're hidden from me.
That's true.
It's your cheat sheet, in other
exactly. And yeah. We cheat a lot.
Okay. We got so many songs and so little of memory that we have.
Well, I've never been able to memorize songs at all. I think there was only one song that I've ever been able to remember, and it's a really odd one, so I won't even talk about it. But so I've always admired people who can hold that stuff in their head and really absorb the lyrics. I mean, to me, I've always, if it's music with vocals, what my ear hears is the music, not necessarily the words. But many other people clue into the words.
That's
at least as much or more than.
That's interesting. We over the years, we've played a lot of places, a lot of times, and we found that when we play instrumentals, much like the last one, people tend to chit-chat with each other, the audience, because they feel like they don't really need to pay attention as closely because there's this background of music coming out in their direction. While when we perform songs with lyrics, generally the audience is going to be considerably more attentive. And so we often kind of go back and forth between the instrumentals and the ones with lyrics. And occasionally even throw in an a cappella song, which, you want to flip to one of those?
I was just going to ask, have you got one of those?
Yeah. Give us a moment to turn the pages in our book.
I'll give you a moment by doing a calendar here. How's that?
You have
a few moments, because it's about time to do that anyway, our Living Music Calendar, and lots of theater going on in the summertime as well. These are just a few things you can hear and go see in the area. We mentioned earlier at Kickapoo tonight at 5:30, it's J.R. Country performing at The Landing. Also tonight at 6:30, the Illinois Chamber Music Festival continues at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington, and that's a faculty recital at 6:30 tonight at Westbrook Auditorium. The Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana is wrapping up its performances of the Full Monty this week. Performances tomorrow through Saturday. Those are all at 8 o'clock. at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. It's Funny Girl. Performances tomorrow at 2 and 8, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday as well. 8 o'clock performances Thursday and Friday. The Peoria Municipal Band is performing tomorrow night at the Peoria Riverfront. That's at 7:30, a free program tomorrow night. Also, the Illinois Chamber Music Festival, should have mentioned this earlier, is giving one of its student recitals tomorrow evening at 7:30. That is also at Westbrook Auditorium at the Illinois Wesleyan University campus in Bloomington. And the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, doing A Midsummer Night's Dream by Shakespeare Thursday evening in Bloomington. That's at Ewing Manor. And there's also music at some of the weekend performances, as well as what they call green shows on the green outside the theater itself, particularly for the kids. And you can check the full schedule of activities at thefestival.org for the Illinois Shakespeare Festival. And the Illinois Summer Youth Music Jazz Faculty Recital is Thursday evening at 7 o'clock in Smith Recital Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. And students from the Illinois Summer Youth Music Camps will be on this show on Friday. We'll have at least a couple of jazz combos playing on Live and Local on Friday during the noon hour. So that, I'm looking forward to that as well, and I hope you are too. Let's have a little more from Strings Attached. You've pulled out your a cappella number, and you have all memorized the song by now, right?
Not quite.
All right.
We'll still cheat.
This is Live and Local on FM 90.9.
This is an old gospel number. It's very, very common for bluegrass music to be combined with old-time Southern gospel. And I first heard a recording of this by Doc Watson and a number of other performers, and just a couple, it was just maybe a year or so ago, we decided that we ought to try to pull this one out if we could. So it's an old gospel number called The Old Account Was Settled. I'm going to give us a starting note there, okay.
Yes, the old account was settled long ago. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins gone unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went to the keeper and I settled long ago.
Long ago.
Down on my knees.
Long ago.
I settled it all. Yes, the old account was settled long ago.
Hallelujah.
And the record's clear today. He washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never trying to pray. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I went to the keeper and I settled long ago.
Long ago.
Down on my knees.
Long ago.
I settled it all. Yes, the old account was settled long ago.
Hallelujah.
And the record's clear today. He washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago.
When in that happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption's story and praise him for his love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and I settled long ago.
Long ago.
Down on my knees.
Long ago.
I settled it all. Yes, the old account was settled long ago.
Hallelujah.
And the record's clear today. He washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago.
It's pretty easy to tell the names of these songs.
Yeah.
You get the line, the refrain repeats quite a bit. The old account was settled long ago. How many of you sing regularly or have sung regularly in church choirs of some kind?
I have.
Just one.
Just one.
Well, I used to sing in a choir way back when I was in high school, but that was a very long time ago.
So did you sort of pick up this kind of gospel singing in the same way as you picked up instruments, or just absorb the style?
It's just always part of bluegrass. So when we got interested in bluegrass, a lot of the songs were just songs that we liked and we picked up.
So how did you go about this? This is Ron Cordy, the mandolinist, mm-hmm. who just talking there. and you just picked this banjo up, I think you said 1993, or mandolin. And how did you go about learning it?
Well, I didn't do it the right way.
Does anybody?
I don't know. But I just sit down. I could read music a little bit from high school days, and just sit down and started trying to play some music, you know, off of a book, and just kept doing that until I got to where I could kind of learn songs even without the notes a little bit, and just kind of moved on from there, I guess.
So in picking up the bluegrass style for any of you, it was just a lot of listening to other groups, listening to records, some combination of that, or what?
Right.
I don't know that,
for me,
that a lot of people wouldn't call what we do traditional old bluegrass style. For one thing, in a lot of bluegrass songs, the banjo plays lead melody, and the mandolin often does a kind of a harmony counterpart. An awful lot of what we do is, I guess, out of instrumentation and background, very often Ron picks out the lead part with his mandolin, which I guess it's a little different than a lot, but I like it because that high mandolin sound kind of cuts through and brings the melody out. And then because I play old-timey clawhammer banjo, it's really much more rhythm. And so I'm doing some rhythm and harmony parts. And then Don often does the lead vocals and puts in rhythm guitar, which really fills in, you know, the mid to low range. And then of course Bob's bass really rounds it out with the low register.
And so I noticed that in the vocal quartet just there, Don, you were on the bass also. Did I get the wrong person here? I'm looking, Bob, the other Bob. You were on singing the bass, the lower parts.
That's the register that I seem to get in most of the time. So.
So it's, it may or may not be related to the fact that you're also playing the bass.
We do trade off quite a bit. I mean, other than Bob, I think the other three of us often will sing the lead part and trade off on harmony parts and so on.
What I've heard the term clawhammer banjo, but I don't actually know what that means. Can you talk about that?
I think it came about because your thumb and first two fingers form kind of the shape of a clawhammer. You know, with the thumb being like the hammer head and the other two fingers mm-hmm. forming like a claw. And it's different than the traditional bluegrass picking. Is a three-finger picking where you're pulling up on the strings, and typically the players will wear finger picks. And it's a constant run of 16th notes, while clawhammer is a little bit more rhythmic. It's more like a galloping horse. Because you hit down on a string, strum across, and then come off on the drone note with your thumb. You almost have to see it to understand it, and unfortunately we can't do that with radio.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've had a number of occasions where a television camera would be
pretty handy.
But that just
means folks are going to have to come out and listen to clawhammer banjo players.
Exactly, on Friday evening.
For people that's familiar with Grandpa Jones, that's how he played banjo.
Right,
the clawhammer.
Quite a lot of old-time clawhammer musicians.
But the famous, you know, a lot of the real famous tunes like Foggy Mountain Breakdown and so on, you know, that's the
three-finger picking, right.
That's where you have just an endless barrage of notes.
Correct.
Going by very fast.
Correct.
And it's accompanying yourself virtually.
Correct. You know. And often within that barrage of notes, they're also picking out the lead melody.
Right. Well, we've got 5 minutes left. We better leave with one more tune. What should that be, our closing number?
Well, not only do members of this group play music, but occasionally they create music. So we thought we'd like to do one that was put together by our guitar player, Don Thody. It's called Back in the Hills of Tennessee.
And I may give you the leg out on this one at some point,
depending
upon how long the tune goes.
Okay.
Strings Attached with Don Thodey on the guitar and the lead vocals there. High vocals, Bob Pierce playing the banjo. Mandolin player Ron Cordy, bass player Bob Patterson. You can hear them live in a full program from 5:30 to 7:30 this Friday evening at Kickapoo State Park in Oakwood at The Landing, music, part of the Music at the Landing series, co-sponsored by Illinois Public Media, part of the Kickin' It at Kickapoo project, which you can have a look at on our website, will.illinois.edu. And we thank you, gentlemen, very much for coming on to Live and Local today.
Well, thank you very much for letting us join you.
It was fun to have you. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Family Video Movie Club of Springfield, Tepper Electric Champaign, and Springfield Electric of Springfield. These business partners join the Friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thank you. We have news headlines next from NPR, and then more music for you at 106. It's going to be a mostly sunny afternoon with a chance of an isolated thunderstorm, the high 85. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 65. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a few showers or thunderstorms possible, the high 80. We're at 81 degrees, just about 101. You're listening to WYLL 90.9 FM in HD Urbana. Operating translators, W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana.